welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Horror coming up in this hour. Later on, a play from Arch Obler, writer behind the Lights Out series. But first, it's Inner Sanctum. From September 14th, 1952, on ABC, the play Till Death Do Us Part.
Inner Sanctum Mysteries. Good evening, friends of the creaking door. This is your host to welcome you once again into the inner sanctum. Come in. Come in and meet our newest spirit. He'd been married for 10 years, and everything was going fine until one night at dinner, his wife asked him to pass the knife, which he did, right through her. Then he hid her body in the town bell. That's where he made his mistake, because the next morning she told on him. And now we can turn to a little matter of murder. Our story tonight begins on a pleasant note with a honeymoon couple. But don't start to squirm. The unpleasantness will commence soon enough. Let's look on at Joe and Nancy Stone, married hardly 5 hours and parked at the side of the road by the bank of the old mill stream and whispering sweet nothings to each other.
See, Nancy, it's wonderful to be married to you.
Jim.
The other clerks at Scott's department store can see us now.
I don't want anybody to see us. I just want to be alone with you, Joe, for the rest of my life.
I hope you don't mind spending our honeymoon in a tourist cabin instead of a swanky hotel.
But I love it this way, Joe. The stream rushing past, the moonlight shining on the bridge, the woods all around us. Look, there's another car. They're parking on the bridge.
He's turning his headlights out, too. They think they've got privacy. I guess they can't see us park here.
Look, Joe, that couple's getting out of the car.
Yeah, for a walk on the bridge. Wonder if this is their wedding night, too.
It's a gorgeous car. Joe.
What?
That couple, they're acting very strange.
Huh? They're having an argument.
Joe, look what he just took out of his pocket.
Holy mackerel, a gun.
He's pointing a gun at her. He shot her.
Holy mackerel. It can't be. It must be a gag of some kind.
But you saw the flashes when he fired the gun. How still she lies. Her body crumpled at his feet.
Yeah, he's picking her up. I bet he's going to throw her into the
Joe,
street.
Joe, don't let him.
You push my hand down on the horn. He sees us.
What? He's starting across the bridge.
Heading for us? He knows we witnessed the murder. He's got to kill us, too.
Quick, start our car.
He'll be here before I can turn the car around.
What are we going to do?
We'll duck into the woods. Come on. Quick. Let's run.
My high heels, I can't run fast.
You've got to. Here, through these bushes. Get behind this tree.
He's getting out of his car. He has the gun. Joey. He needs to kill us.
He's coming straight for this tree. He knows we're here. Nancy, we've got to run for our lives. Take my hand. Come on.
Shooting at us.
Nancy, faster. Faster. Faster.
I'm tired, Jock. I can't go much further.
We can't stop. He's close behind us.
Is he gaining on us?
Nobody's still after us.
Let's stop and run.
No, not yet. I saw headlights up ahead. Maybe there's a road if we can only make it.
Joe, I'm through. I can't go anymore.
Nancy, look. Through the tree is the road. Come on, one last sprint. Here it is, Nancy. The road.
I never thought we'd make it. Is he still after us coming through the woods?
I don't know. We'll stop the first car that comes along. Oh, take it easy, baby.
I was thinking of that poor girl who's lying dead on the bridge.
And on our wedding night, too. Here comes a car. I'll stop it. Hey!
It isn't stopping.
It went right by.
Joe.
What?
I think I hear something behind us in the woods.
It's only the wind in the trees.
Suppose he should suddenly step out of those woods with his gun.
Maybe he gave up. Maybe went back to take care of that body.
A car is there, Joe. With our marriage license in the glove compartment. And there's a seat Mrs. Swenson gave us for the cabin.
Yeah, he'll know all about us, who we are, where to find us.
And we don't know a thing about him except his face. Face of a murderer.
Come on, Nancy. I think we better start walking. We've got to get to the cabin and phone the police.
Further, Joe?
Just around the bend.
I'd like to lie down and sleep. Right here on the road.
Fine way to spend a wedding night.
Darling, look. We're there. Swenson's cabin.
They're all dark. Everybody's asleep. Now we'll have to wake up Mrs. Swenson, use her phone.
Joe.
What?
Look in front of our cabin.
What?
Hey, that's our car. The murderer must have driven here in it by another road to wait for us.
I don't see anybody around.
Maybe he's in the car.
Wait here. I'll go and see.
No, he'll kill him.
Now don't worry. We both saw his face. He's got to kill us both. If I go over there alone, he won't shoot till he knows where you are. Now, take it easy. Stay back here in the shadows. It'll be all right. It's okay, Nancy. The car is empty.
Maybe he's hiding somewhere close by.
No, he must have skipped out.
But why would he bring our car back here?
He wanted to get it away from the bridge, don't you see? He must have dumped that girl's body in the river, and then he took our car away. No trace.
I'm scared, Joe. Maybe he's hiding inside the cabin waiting for us.
He'd be a sap. One shot would wake up all the people in the other cabins, and Mrs. Swenson, too. He'd never get away with it. Come on. We're going in our cabin and get cleaned up. Then we'll use the phone. Switch is right here. There, you see? Nobody hiding.
Holy mackerel!
What is it?
Oh, over there on the bed.
What a...
It's the girl's body. Just like we saw her on the bridge.
Now we can return to that cozy little honeymoon cabin where Joe and Nancy found the beautiful corpse on their bed, the corpse who'd had her face lifted. But don't worry, before the night's over, the murderer may have his face lifted, too, on the end of a rope. Now, if that murderer were an Oriental, he might try to save face, but you can't save your face if you lose your head, can you? In the meantime, I wonder what Joe and Nancy are going to do with the uninvited corpse in their honeymoon cottage. Don't you?
Now listen, Nancy, we have to think this over. We're in a jam. Oh, for the love of Pete, Nancy, this is no time to faint.
It's all a perfect
shadow. No, no, don't look at it. Here.
What'll we do, Joe?
I don't know. I got to think. Oh, on our wedding night to have a thing like this happen.
Why did he leave her here, Joe?
To put us in a spot. The cops will never believe our story. Now they'll think we killed her.
But Joe, we never saw her before in our lives.
Nancy, we've got to get rid of her.
What?
We've got to take her back to the bridge and dump her right back on the murderer.
No.
It's the only thing we can do. Suppose the cops come here and find her. They'll grill us for hours. They'll hold us for the inquest. It might take a week, 2 weeks. A fine way to spend a honeymoon in jail.
I never thought of that.
We've got to do it. We've got to take her back.
But that means we have to lift her up and carry her.
I'll carry her, but you'll have to help.
I couldn't.
You've got to.
What What must I do?
You go out and get the back door of the car open, and then I'll bring her out.
Joe! Joe, they'll find us here with the body.
Quick, throw the blanket over. I'll see who it is.
I can't go near her.
Oh, as I say, quick.
I'll try. Give me a minute.
Who is it?
It's I, Mrs. Swenson.
This blanket, it's too short.
Just a minute, Mrs. Swenson.
Her feet are sticking out. Get those clothes out of the valise. Throw them on top of her.
That's the best I can do.
All right. Sit on the bed in front of her feet.
Please hurry, Mrs. Stone.
It's coming, Mrs. Swenson.
Is everything okay, Nancy?
Yes. I feel faint.
Bite your lip, do anything, but don't faint now.
Good evening, Mrs. Swenson.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Stone. I hope I'm not intruding. I saw your light, so I knew you weren't asleep yet.
We were just going to sleep, weren't we, Nancy?
Yes. I should have thought you'd be asleep long ago. Oh, you see, I brought you a jug of my own homemade apple cider. I'll put it right here. Some glasses, too.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Swenson.
It's awfully nice of you.
Oh, not at all. It's so nice to have a honeymoon couple. I wanted to do it earlier, but my heart was bothering me. I have a bad heart, you know.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry to hear that, Mrs. Swenson. Well, thank you for everything.
Oh, aren't you going to try my cider? I thought you'd like to drink a toast.
Well, we're not very thirsty right now, Mrs. Swenson. Are we, Nancy?
No.
Oh, of course not. Now, I'll run right along, leave you both strictly alone.
Good night, Mrs. Swenson, and thank you again.
Good night, Mrs. Swenson.
Oh, you poor dear, you look all tuckered out sitting there on the bed. I bet you don't even know how to make up a bed. Here, I'll make it up for you.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's the least I can do. Now, you just sit over here on the chair, my dear.
Please don't.
Why?
Well, she means, please don't bother.
Oh, it's no bother at all. Oh, look at all these clothes all thrown around. What's this?
We can explain everything.
Shot. She's been shot. Murdered.
Please, Mrs. Franklin, it's not what you think.
Murdered. You're no honeymooners, you're murderers.
Stop that. Stop that. No. Stop it.
Look, Joe, you're smothering her. Your hands.
I'm just trying to stop her yelling. Please, Mrs. Swenson.
Joe, what happened?
I don't know. She just went limp and slid down on the floor. Mrs. Swenson. Mrs. Swenson, are you all right? Mrs. Swenson.
What is it?
She's dead.
Joe, you killed her. You smothered her to death.
I'm a murderer. Me, Joe Stone, a killer. We started out on a honeymoon and now I'm a murderer.
Joe.
I was kind of dizzy for a second.
Joe, please. You look like a ghost. You're trembling.
Nancy, what are we going to do?
Are you sure she's dead?
Yeah, look at her face. She's dead. And that one on the bed. We're in a jam, Nancy, in a bad jam.
Oh, Joe. I wish I were dead, too.
They'll hold us for murder.
But it was an accident. You didn't mean to kill Mrs. Swenson.
Yeah, but how will we ever prove we didn't kill the other one, too? We'll never be able to find that guy with the black roadster. The cops will pin the rap on us.
Joe, take me out of here. I can't stand it, her on the bed. And Mrs. Swenson on the floor. Let's go away, please, far away.
You mean run away?
Anything, but let's not stay here. I won't go to jail. I won't. Take me away, please.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get out. We'll keep going. Nobody knows our names. They can't trace us. Come on, get the clothes packed.
Joe, I can't close this valise.
I'll close it. You get the other one packed. Now, don't forget anything. Look under the bed. Be sure we don't leave a single thing behind.
No, mustn't leave anything behind. Everything's packed, Joe. Hurry. Hurry.
All right, I'll take the bags. You put the lights out. Hey.
What, Joe? What's wrong?
I just thought. Our fingerprints all over the place.
What do we do?
We've got to wipe them off everything. Grab a towel. We'll wipe everything in sight.
We've wiped everything, Joe, I think.
The bedstead?
Yes.
The bathroom, the faucets?
Yes.
The doorknobs, the dresser?
Yes.
The water pitcher?
Yes.
Then that's all. Let's go.
Joe, the cider jug. We didn't wipe that.
We didn't touch it.
I'll wipe it anyway.
Snap it up.
All right.
Come on, then. I'll feel better in the car, out in the road.
Joe, do you think we forgot anything?
I don't know. I can't think. I'm numb all over.
Darling.
Holy mackerel, Nancy. I'm a murderer. I'm a killer. Running away. We shouldn't have done it. We shouldn't have run away.
Joe, it's not as if you killed her on purpose. It was an accident.
Nancy, you realize you're married to a murderer.
But it wasn't murder.
So easy. So easy to kill. I never thought it could be so easy. All I did was hold my hand over her face.
Please, Joe.
What time is it?
It's almost 2 o'clock. Oh, we've been driving for an hour.
We got a cigarette? I think there's some in the glove compartment.
I'll get them. Joe.
What?
Our marriage license, it's gone.
Are you sure?
It's gone. It was right here.
The murderer. He took it.
But why? Why would he take our marriage license?
I don't know. I can't think straight anymore.
He knows our names, everything about us. Joe. There's no use our running away. He knows who we are. We'll always be at his mercy.
Oh, gosh. I feel all in. I can't drive anymore. I gotta rest. I gotta think.
Pull up at the side of the road. Look, up ahead, a gas station closed for the night. We can park there.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish I could sleep for 100 years.
Poor Joe. Here, put your head on my shoulder.
The first night of our honeymoon. And maybe the last.
Joe.
Hmm?
It's 6 o'clock.
Hey. It's daylight. Slept all through the night.
I guess I fell asleep, too. It's cold.
Yeah, we should have closed the windows. Gee, baby, you look pretty. Your hair mussed up.
Joe.
Gosh, your hands are cold. Here, let me warm them.
This is our first morning together, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, our first morning together. This isn't the way I used to dream about. How did we ever get in a mess like this? We're back where we were last night in the same jam. Nothing's changed. Those two corpses still in the cabin. What do we do?
Joe, let's not think about it for a while yet. Let's go find a place for breakfast. Our first breakfast together. After that, we'll go back to thinking about it. But at least, let's have those few minutes. Sort of stay of execution.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a place, Joe, a diner.
Yeah, but I haven't got much appetite.
What we both need is something hot.
Think there's an alarm out for us yet?
Let's not think about it.
Early weather report.
Oh, the customers inside. That's good.
Before tonight.
Morning. You've been traveling all night?
Yeah, all night. Some scrambled eggs, please.
Right. It'll take a few minutes. It's all right. We'll wait. I'll turn the radio off for you.
This is brought to you. This is your friendly neighborhood station with the early morning local news. During the night, death came to Mrs. Hannah Swenson, whose tourist cabins are located on the Bay Park Highway.
Joe.
Yeah.
Right off Route 27. Mrs. Swenson's body was discovered by Oscar Jansen, the handyman, who was awakened by the sound of a car driving away from one of the cabins. Investigating, he found Mrs. Swenson lying on the floor of cabin 3. Dr. Macklin, who was summoned immediately, noticed that Mrs. Swenson had died of a heart attack.
A heart attack?
He had been treating her for a severe heart ailment.
Then I didn't kill her.
Joe, he didn't say anything.
She had not taken
about
more
the other body.
Of digitalis. The state police are anxious to contact a couple who occupied the cabin and who apparently left during the night. They are traveling in a blue Nash sedan license number SN1637. Their names are not known as yet, but if they should hear this broadcast, they are requested to call at the State Police Barracks as soon as possible.
Let's get out of here, Nancy.
Say, what about your aunt?
I can't wait. We're in a hurry. Come on, Nancy.
What does it mean, Joe? Why didn't he mention the other body?
It's a trap, Nancy. You get it? They're keeping mum about the girl's body.
Joe, I don't think so.
What? Well, what else could it be? We left two bodies there, didn't we?
We shut the motor off. Maybe the real murderer was waiting close by all the time. Maybe after we left, he went in and took the girl's body away again.
I don't like it. I want to get away from here, far away.
Wait, Joe. Don't you realize you're not a murderer? You didn't kill Mrs. Swenson. It was a heart attack.
That's what they say. I say it's a trap. Now, let's get moving.
Joe, it's too late. Look.
State troopers.
He's coming right over here.
Sure. He's got this license number. Well, I guess our honeymoon is over.
Well, are you Mr. and Mrs. Joseph Stone?
Yes.
You're Joe Stone?
That's right.
And you, lady, you're Nancy Stone?
Yes.
Well, then this belongs to you.
What is it?
Take it.
Our marriage license.
Where'd you get it?
One of our men happened to be cruising down by the old mill stream last night. He saw a fella get out of a roadster on the bridge carrying a girl's body. Well, the fella dumped the girl over the rail, and our man went after him. They had a gunfight, and the fella got a slug through the heart. When we went through his car, we found this. And on the back of it, you notice, he wrote your license number.
It was like you figured, Nancy. The killer was waiting outside the cabin all the time. And after we left, he came back and took the girl's body away again.
Then, officer, you got the murderer.
Yeah, sure did. But we didn't recover the body of the girl. It was carried downstream. It may take several days to find it.
Then we're not wanted for anything?
Well, you're the folks that were in Mrs. Swenson's cabin last night. We figured you left in a hurry. Kind of embarrassing to have a thing like that happen on your honeymoon, huh? I can't blame you.
Then we're free to go on our honeymoon?
Just come down to the barracks and sign a statement. Then you can be on your way.
Would you mind, officer, just a few minutes?
We want to go back in the diner for our honeymoon breakfast.
Fooled you, didn't we? I'll bet you expected Joe and Nancy to come to a bad end. It's too bad Nancy had to be framed for murder, but we just couldn't resist framing her. She is as pretty as a picture. And, oh, yes. Would you care to hear our recipe for eliminating crime? Well, it goes like this. To prevent a murder, you must commit the murderer before he commits the murder. Think that over for a while. And then you'll be ready to murder someone. Well, friends, it's time once again to close that creaking door. Until next week at the same time, when we'll be back with a little hunk of horror.
Inner Sanctum on Tuned to Yesterday from September 14th, 1952 on ABC. The play Till Death Do Us Part, penned by Emil Tepperman, was heard four times on the series. That was the fourth and final from its first broadcast on October 16th, 1945. You're listening to an hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for Arch Obler's plays from July 29th, 1939 on the NBC Blue Network. It's the story Another World or The Voice Within Me.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Arch Obler. Tonight I fully expected to bring you the story of Another World, a play full of roaring rocket ships speeding through space, bringing the people of our Earth to new adventures on other planets. And then I began to think, why go out into interstellar space for a story of another world, when here on this Earth, within ourselves, there are other worlds, the other beings we might have been. Here, then, is the story of another world within our own.
In a cell of the death block of a southern penitentiary sits a woman weeping. It is a cold, dismal, dreary night. Outside, a chilling rain beats endlessly against the small, barred window. Inside, alone, a young girl kneels beside her prison cot, talking softly in the dark.
I couldn't help it, Mother. I couldn't help it. It wasn't my fault. Oh, please believe me, Mother. There's no one else I can turn to now. You'll understand, won't you? If you'd only been alive, you could have helped me. And now, somehow, I think you're close. Listen to me. And I want to explain to you. Tell you everything that happened. I remember the boy next door, Bob. He was only 10 when you died. Poor Bob, he was so happy that night. Father had just announced our engagement. We'd had a big crowd at the house. Everybody was so happy and gay. And afterward, when everyone had gone, Father went inside the house. And Bob and I were alone in the garden. Oh, it was so warm and lovely.
Happy?
Uh-huh.
So am I. It's going to be wonderful, Joan, just us two.
Just us two.
I could hardly wait for the rest of them to go. Blame me?
I love you, Bob.
I can stand it, honey. Why were you so scared when your dad got up to make the announcement?
I don't know. I just... Oh, let's forget it.
The blushing bride.
No, really, Bob, it wasn't anything.
Come on now, tell Robin.
Please, Bob.
Darling, that's love. I want to know everything you think and everything you feel, even before...
No, you mustn't. Don't ever ask me things, Bob. Please. You've got to promise.
Joan, what's the matter?
Nothing, nothing. Only, well, it isn't good for anyone to know so much about anyone else.
Oh, go on. I know all about you already. You're the loveliest, sweetest girl a man ever loved.
Keep your arms around me, Bob. Like this, always. Everything's all right when you do that.
Ah, gee, the whole world seems different tonight. I mean, there's a kind of singing in the air. Hear those sounds, honey?
Bob.
Yes, Joan.
Bob, do you ever... I mean... Well, does it ever happen that...
What are you trying to ask me, honey?
Oh, I don't know.
Come on now, what's on your mind?
Well, do you ever hear things...
But sure, that's what I was telling you. Listen to them singing. Crickets and the frogs.
But I don't mean that, Bob. I don't mean from the outside. I mean, do you ever hear things from the inside?
From the inside? Well, no,
I... If I could only explain, it's not like a voice, and yet maybe it is a voice, only there isn't any sound. It's like... Like something that wants to be born and...
Oh,
and,
darling, what are you talking about?
I don't know. I... Somehow, all evening, I've had a feeling inside of me as if...
As if what, sweet?
As if I... Oh, it's nothing at all, I guess. I've just been running around too much, that's all.
I'll say you have. So strangely nervous, I've noticed it in the last few days. What is it, Joan? Can't you tell me?
Well, I'm not sure. Oh, please, Bob, let's not talk about it anymore. Hold me close. It's getting so chilly.
I'll get your coat.
No, Bob, I don't...
We'll take a moment, Joan. I'll be right back.
Hurry, dear.
Joan.
What?
Joan.
Who is it? Who's calling my name?
Joan.
Where are you? I hear you. You're close by, but I can't see you. Please, where are you? You're frightening me.
I frighten you. So, now you know where I am, don't you?
No. It can't be true.
It is true. I speak from within you.
No. it's someone speaking from the outside. Someone trying to frighten me. I won't listen to you.
Yes. Cover your ears.
No, I...
Yes, you still hear me.
In my head.
Yes, in your head.
Madness.
You little fool, it's reality. Stand where you are and listen. You must.
In my head.
Yes, yes, in your head. That's where I am. And that's where I've been all these years.
The two of us.
Yes, yes, the two of us living in the same body. Your white body. You've known I was there, haven't you?
No. No.
Oh, yes, you have. I've fought with you all your life. You've wanted to do this. I've wanted to do that.
No.
You felt me struggling within you, but you haven't dared admit that I was there.
No.
But now, at last, I've found words. Only you can hear them in your own mind, but they're words, words, and they'll give me the world that belongs to me. Listen, you, I've waited a long time for this. A long time. You've got to let me live.
Live?
Yes, live. Live. Speak words that others can hear. Do what I want with this body I live in. I've wanted to live so much. I've fought in the darkness so long. At last, I've fought my way through so that you can hear me. But now I want more. Much more. I want to have all of the body. You hear me? All of it. You've had it so long. It's my turn now. Listen. You've got to give it up.
Give up?
Yes. Yes, you simple fool. Stop repeating my words. I want you to give it up, your body, your mind, to me. In the end, you'll have to anyway. I've grown stronger month after month, year after year. I've always been you, without words. But now you hear me. You've got to give up your body, your mind, to me. It'll be easy. Just give up. Give up struggling against me.
Oh, no.
I will win. I will. I've waited so long until you were tired. That simple little mind of yours tired. And now I won't go back into the darkness. I'll thrust you out. I'll live. I'll live.
Joan. Joan, honey. What is it, honey? What's happened?
Oh, my clothes above. Close. And that's the way it was, Mother. That was the first time I heard her. She was in my mind, Mother. Right in my mind. I could hear every word. It was madness, and yet it wasn't madness. It was really happening. Oh, the terrible days that followed, Mother. That horrible woman inside of me. Carmen, she called herself. Fighting, fighting, fighting me every moment. Wanting me to... Well, I didn't quite understand. To stop resisting her, I guess. So that she could come alive in me and do what she pleased with me. She made me think such horrible things, Mother. Father and Bob couldn't understand what was happening to me. They used to spend long hours together talking over what had happened.
Mr. Andrews, I tell you, Joan has changed.
Now, my boy, calm yourself. Everything will come out all right.
We've got to do something, sir. Why should someone as sweet and gentle as Joan suddenly turn into... I tell you, I can't stand it.
My boy, what can we do? I don't dare call in a physician. He might say...
Yes, yes, I know what you're thinking. But she's not insane, sir. Don't even think of it. Joan is not insane. It's a strange sickness. It'll pass. It's got to pass.
Yes, Mother. I used to hear them through my bedroom door. Long hours of talking whether I was sane or not. And all the time that horrible woman inside of me, threatening me, telling me that they'd put me away in an asylum unless I listened to her. Taunting.
Yes, I tell you, that's what they're doing. Talking about you out there. insane. You're insane. You hear me? Insane. Insane. That's what they're saying. Insane.
I'll go. I'll tell them the truth.
The truth? You little fool. Who'll believe you? A mind within a mind. Who'll believe you, I say? They'll put you in an asylum for life. You hear me? An asylum for life. You know what that means? Yes, yes. Weep, you little white-faced fool. But that won't help you. In an asylum, that's where they'll put you. Walls around you all your life. Better to be dead, I tell you. Better to be dead.
Yes. Yes, I'd rather be dead than that.
Then listen to me. Let me take over. Let me live. It'll be so easy. Just don't fight me anymore. You will do that, won't you?
No. Never. Never, you evil thing. You. I'll never let you.
You will. You will. You will.
But I told him I'd never let her have me to do what she wanted. Never. She kept after me, Mother. Day after day. Oh, I couldn't stand it any longer. And in Father's eyes, I began to see the thought of insanity. And I was so afraid. So very afraid. And she kept after me. Hour after hour. Taunting. Threatening.
Listen, you little fool. Listen to me, I say. You must listen. Oh, what's the use of burying your head in the pillow? You know you'll never hear me no matter what you do. You'll always hear me. I'm in you. In you forever. You hear me forever.
Oh, why don't you leave me alone?
You fool, I can't leave you alone. I can't. I want to live. I've wanted life so long. You've got to let me have it.
I'll go to Dr. Wayne. I'll tell him everything. He's my friend. He'll help me.
No, no, no doctor, you little fool. No doctor. They'll put you in an asylum, I tell you. An insane asylum.
Oh, I don't care. Anything. Anything to stop this madness. You.
No. No, you can't go to anyone. A bargain. That's what I'll make with you, a bargain.
Bargain?
Yes, that's what I'll make with you, a bargain. I'll give you your freedom. Freedom, do you understand? I'll never talk again. You won't even know I'm here inside of you. You'll be just as you used to be. You'll be alone if you go away.
Oh, if I thought you meant... if I could only trust you.
You can. You can. Leave this house. Go away. Far away to a new town. Start a new life. I'll leave you alone if you do. Only go away. You've got to go away.
A new life? Yes. Yes, a new life. I'll go away. I'll go away. And so I took the money you left me, Mother. I took it and I ran away. My money was gone. And I found myself in this city. Unknown. 1,000 miles from home. But happy. Because I thought I was free from her. Yes, Mother, I was free from her. All the time on the train, not a word did she speak in my head. Not a single thought. And then for a week in the city, she was gone, Mother. Completely gone. And I was so happy. With a few dollars I had left, I got a room. And then I got a job and I said, oh, dear God, at last I'm free again. And then I began to get lonesome. Lonesome for Bob. Maybe wanting him so much was what finally brought him to me. 3 weeks later, he finally found me.
I don't care why you did it, Joan. It doesn't matter now, just so I found you.
I've been so terribly lonesome, Bob.
We're going home.
I can't, Bob.
Why not?
I can't, that's all. You've got to believe me.
But I don't know what to believe anymore. You keep on saying that you still love me.
I do. I do love you, Bob. I'll always love you.
Why don't you want to go back with me, then?
Because I've got reasons, I tell you. You wouldn't understand.
But how can I? You won't give me a chance. You're not even giving yourself a chance. You don't belong in a place like this. You belong with us, with your dad and with me. We love you, Joan. We want to take care of you. If it's something you've done...
No, nothing like that.
Well, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, we'll make it right. If you'll just come back with
me. Don't ask me, Bob. Don't ask me anymore.
I love you, Joan.
Then do what I say. Please, if you really love me, go away and leave me here. Go back. Go back alone. Please, I'm begging you, Bob. Because I love you.
You love me and I love you. I think we've had enough of this nonsense. You listen to me, Joan. I'm going downstairs and I'm going to pay your bill. And we're going to pack your things and we're going to catch the next train. We'll have no argument about it.
No,
either.
Bob.
Joan.
No.
Joan. Yes, I've come back.
But you said you wouldn't. You promised me. You said you wouldn't come back if I went away. You lied. You lied to me.
You lied to yourself. You knew I'd go wherever you went.
You cheated me.
As you cheated me through all these years. But I'll live now. I'll take your place. With Bob.
But you can't do that. You don't love him.
How do you know? Why, you little white-faced Puritan, what do you know about love? What do you know about life? What will you ever know unless I teach you? Don't worry, though. You'll learn in time. I'll take over this slim white body of yours. I'll make you burn and freeze and sing and cry. I'll make you crawl in the mud and dance in the sky. I'll teach you. I'll teach you, Joan.
I won't let you. I won't. I don't care about you.
They'll say you're mad.
I don't care. I don't care, I tell you. I'll drag you out. I'll let them see you. They'll help me destroy you.
I'll destroy you first. I'll destroy you, Joan.
We're all set, honey. I've paid the bill.
But she's crying. I want...
Don't say it, darling. I know. You want to go home. Straighten things out in that funny little head of yours. Not a chance, lady. We're not waiting for anything now. Come on, let's get to work on these bags.
I warned you, Joan.
No time now, honey. The train leaves in 40 minutes.
I said I'd destroy you, Joan.
You know, for the first time in my life, I enjoy packing. That might never happen again.
Kill him.
Stop.
What did you say?
Kill him.
Don't look so scared. Pass me those things on the dresser.
Kill him.
You know, I just figured out why I never enjoyed packing before. I never tried it when I was
scissors
happy.
Scissors on the dresser, Joan.
Happy anyway, Joan.
Pick them up. They're
honey,
sharp.
Okay,
hold them
right.
Tight, Joan. Tight.
All about these last few
he's
months.
Not looking.
I
raise your arm.
Like
higher. Higher.
So darn happy.
Now.
We'll always
right.
Yes, Mother. Dead. Dead. But I didn't do it, you understand? I didn't do it. It was she. She pounding in my mind. She made my fingers hold the scissors. She made me. Oh, Mother. Mother, you do understand, don't you? She wanted to destroy me. And that's the way she did it. And then the trial. What could I say? What could I do? Who would believe me? She didn't come back anymore. She was satisfied with what she did. She was waiting. Oh, that trial, Mother. Lawyers. Lawyers talking.
I say to you, gentlemen of the jury,
that never in the history of this community has a more...
Was I insane?
I'll stake my professional reputation on that.
Testimony, evidence, prosecution.
Guilty!
Mother, I didn't tell them my right name. I didn't want the newspapers to print it so that Father would find out. They don't even know about me now, Mother. It's best that way, don't you think so? Oh, yes. I was telling you about my lawyer. His name was Eric. He was very kind. He tried so hard to help me.
Joan, listen to me, Joan. Why don't you let me help you? Tell me everything there is to tell.
Oh, please.
But the trial's almost over and things aren't going well for us, you know.
What difference does it make?
But, Joan, it does make a difference. It makes a difference to me. Oh, my darling, look at me.
Eric.
I want you to live, Joan. I want you to live, if not for your own sake, for mine.
It's too late.
No, it's not too late. This is a Southern jury. You're a woman. Given the slightest reason to doubt, and they'll never convict you. But if you continue this silence, you will die, Joan. And I don't want you to die. I don't want you to die.
You're in love with me, Mother. Such a fine man. In love with me, who could never know love because of her. Then the last day of the trial. In all those days, she'd never talked to me. Gone, silent. Eric made a speech to the jury. He said that if I killed the man, there must have been a good reason for what I did, a reason I couldn't tell even to him. Oh, Mother, how could I tell him of her, that horror within me? And the jury went out. Oh, such a long time. Eric was very pleased. He said the longer they stayed out,
the jury's been out almost 6 hours now, Joan. It's a good sign.
You've been very kind, Eric.
Joan.
You.
What is it, Joan?
Nothing, Eric.
No need to worry, Joan. They won't convict you.
Joan, what's the matter? You're so pale.
I'm all right.
The jury's coming in.
The jury? Look, darling, they're smiling.
You'll live, Joan. You'll live. And I'll live with you.
Joan, I think we did it.
We'll both live, Joan. We'll live for Eric.
No. Not him.
He loves you, doesn't he? We'll take care of him. First it was Bob. Now it's Eric. Then...
I won't let you. I won't let you.
Joan, what is it? The jury looks...
Both of us, Joan. With Eric.
We, the jury, find the defendant not...
Stop! I did it! I killed him! I'm guilty!
Please!
It's time, miss.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want it. Make it me to life.
They're leading me from the cell, Mother. The corridor is long and dark. I'm not afraid to die, Mother. I'm not afraid. When I die, she dies too. Her evil dies with me. That's why I'll die happy, Mother. Happy. Another door, Mother. Light. A gallows. But I can't be afraid, Mother. I can't. She dies, too. We walk upstairs. The gallows platform. I'm smiling, Mother. Smiling down at all of them, looking up at me down here. I'm smiling, Mother. I mustn't be afraid, Mother. I mustn't. She dies with me. The evil of her.
I will not die with you, Joan.
You will. You will, Carmen.
I'll be close to you. Fire in you for all eternity. You hear me? For all eternity. I might have had life, but for you, you hear me? Life. And you stole the body from me. For that, I'll never give you peace. Never, never. His hand is on the lever. In a second, the trap beneath your feet. But no peace for you, you white one. Never, never.
The law is satisfied.
You were wrong, Carmen. Evil one. You were wrong. Now there is.
Tonight's play was especially written for radio by Arch Obler and featured Betty Gard in the dual role of Joan and Carmen.
Arch Obler's plays on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC Blue Network broadcast from the 29th of July, 1939. And that wraps up this hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Livonier. Thanks for tuning in.